This week's episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by the good folks supporting us over on patreon.com/StarWarsReport.
Let's do the show, folks!
Come, come, come!
And who might you be?
It's the Star Wars Report!
Star Wars Report!
The Star Wars Report! The place for Star Wars news, features, interviews, and more.
Then we can do something epic!
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Please delete as appropriate.
The Force. It's calling to you. Just let it in.
Okay, here we go. Another episode of the Star Wars Report. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be good. Well, they're always good. But this is even going to be even better. So we've got several things. I'm just going to go through the laundry list for you right now. So we have the news. We're going to talk about the standalone movies, the future of them. Are they happening? Are they on hold? Are on again? Off again? I don't know what's going on with the Star Wars story. I think this news item is a Star Wars story on itself. Plus, we have listener feedback here later in the show about being Star Wars fans. And then we have fans raising money to remake The Last Jedi. Yeah, I know. We'll get to that later. Also, we want to talk about some tweets we have from author Chuck Wendig. He's talking about writing Star Wars, is that a product? And who is his customer? We'll get more into that. It's, to me, a very interesting take on what he has to say, and especially how he says it. And also, we have Boba's Bounty coming up. But, of course, I'm not doing this alone. So, first of all, let me introduce to you one of the producers, if not the producer, of the Star Wars Report, because I forgot to mention this in a previous episode, Michael Morris.
Well, thank you. I feel like maybe now I can't even think of what they're called. I was going to say Seventh Sister, but that's not really the title.
Oh, I kind of think of
Inquisitors.
Yeah.
Think of me. Yeah. Inquisitor is what I was going for, but I went straight to Seventh Sister. It's kind of like the Inquisitors of like how many of us are there actually?
You remind me more producers. Of like the Porg that's trying to turn on the lightsaber and just can't get it to work right.
I mean, that's pretty much how I do everything except for edit. That's the one thing I can do halfway decent. Everything else I just fumble about.
And you know what else
just
you
ask
do?
Ask Christy.
But
really
I was gonna say,
well
but I have.
Is, yes, by marrying Christy, that's one of your biggest, best accomplishments right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Christy's here joining us on the show. Hey, Christy, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. So you keeping Michael in line?
Oh, of course. I wear the pants.
And he wears the cape.
Yes. I taught him how to pose correctly.
I just wish that's Michael would wear pants.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Matt Rushing's introduction to the show.
Hey, guys. It's great to be back. Thanks, Bruce.
You're welcome. And thank you for also wearing pants.
Hey, you don't know who wear pants. You can't tell.
Let's be honest. It's the lack of underwear you're really upset about, Matt.
Whoa. This is not Star Wars Report After Hours.
And we have somebody else in the house today. We have Bria.
Hey, everyone.
Bria LaBorgna. How you
LaBorgna.
Doing?
LaBorgna. But close enough. Yeah. It's Italian.
Close enough. I'm not Italian. I'm like part German and Scottish. At least I think I'm part Scottish. We haven't really determined because my great-grandfather, we found out, wasn't really born in Scotland. He was born in the States, so we don't know what happened before that. Not that you've asked, but I'm just letting you know that. So,
so you have two Italians on this show? Oh man, it's gonna be passionate.
So Matt, you're
lots
Italian?
Of this.
Oh, I'm half Sicilian, so you know. Eh. Well, I'm making an offer I can't refuse.
Michael, what are you?
I am like the worst at like ethnic background knowing stuff like
so wait, Michael, would it be a revelation if I told you I'm also half Chinese?
Sure.
We have this running joke in our house because every time I'm out in public, somebody asks me what I am.
Well, what are you?
she was it Latina magazine or whatever?
What do you mean?
What's the name of the magazine that they just like started sending you?
Oh, I don't remember.
Basically, everyone thinks she's Hispanic.
Are you?
No, actually, not at all. I'm Irish, German, and British mostly. But yeah, the Uber driver I had in DC thought that I was from Honduras. Don't know where that came from. And then there was somebody in an airport one time that sat down and started telling me his life story about how he knew this amazing Spanish woman one time and they were lovers and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, and you look a lot like her. And I was like, and goodbye.
And awkward.
Just gone.
One star.
Yeah. You know what, Chrissy? I'm glad you crashed this party. So thank you for coming on.
Did you get stories like that?
Wow, yeah, there's five of us. We usually don't have this many people. This is exciting. So before we go forward with all this other stuff I mentioned about, you know, this is Bria's first time, at least in a while. Have you been on the Star Wars Report before?
I think I was technically on one of the live episodes that was at New York Comic Con.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's. I'm sure you would forget about that anyway.
No, it wasn't that I forgot about it. It was just a very hectic thing, and I wasn't quite sure what Riley was being like. Here's a microphone, and... told me to talk. So
yeah, he's known for doing that. So anyway, Bria, I want to know what you thought of Solo, A Star Wars Story.
So I liked it the first time I saw it, but I didn't love it. It was probably... No, it was definitely at the bottom of my rankings for the new films. I try not to rank things, but just my initial reaction was liked it, didn't love it. And then the second showing, I really enjoyed it a lot more. And third showing kind of cemented it. So it's... may not ever be my favorite Star Wars story of all time, but I really liked what they did with it. I loved Kira. I will die for Kira, except she doesn't need me to die for her. I'll just hold her cape or something while she kicks everyone else's butts.
Because you recently wrote something about Kira for StarWars.com, right?
I did. 5 reasons to love Kira and all why right. She's awesome.
So everybody should check that out. Go to StarWarsReport.com and look for that.
Yeah. That was fun. I did that. And then I also did a tag team piece on what the best scene in Solo was for them as well.
Can you spoil it? Spoil what the best scene
what
was?
What my favorite scene was?
Yeah.
I went with the last Sabacc scene.
I like
Lando's
that.
Clothes in that, man. You yeah. can't fight with that. That is an outfit, and it takes a bold man to wear it.
I got that pop figure alone, and I can't stop staring at it.
I want someone to make me that cape and shirt.
Are you asking us to do that for you?
I mean, if you'll do it, I mean, I'm asking anyone who'll do it. I'm just saying I want it, and it doesn't exist. I can't go buy it. So
for 80,000 credits, you can have it in Battlefront 2.
Yeah, but I want to wear it.
I can't help you there.
No one can. I mean, even if I wore it, then people would be like, maybe you should leave that to Donald Glover. And I'm like, okay.
True. Okay.
So, my bad.
You're bad. Let's go on to the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
You can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
So, this has been a very interesting week. You know, we've had a few interesting weeks. But, you know, honestly, this was starting to drive me crazy. I try to avoid this kind of news only because I never know if it's real news or fake news. Yes, I worked fake news into this. But anyway, we had several stories come out this week and earlier in the week. And now this show comes out on Monday, so I'm referring to now the previous week. We're recording on a Friday night. But we had Collider.com put out a story about the future spinoff films. A Star Wars Story spinoff films have been put on hold by Lucasfilm. How dare they? And here's what they said. It says, it may be a while before we see any more movies like Solo, A Star Wars Story, out of Lucasfilm. Sources with knowledge of the situation tell Collider that Lucasfilm has decided to put plans for more A Star Wars Story spinoff movies on hold, instead opting to focus their attention on Star Wars Episode 9 and what the next trilogy of Star Wars films will be after that film. Sources tell us that the previously rumored Obi-Wan movie was in active development and those who were working on the film are no longer involved. It was recently reported that Logan filmmaker James Mangold was in early talks to write and direct the Boba Fett film, but that was before Solo's release. That's how we started off the week, being told no more spinoff films. So when you guys heard this, because I assume you all heard it, what was your initial take on that?
Seems like an overreaction to me. I mean, that was my first thought. I was like, really? just because Solo didn't do exactly what you wanted, like, you're going to throw out the baby with the bathwater? Like, it just seems like this would be a huge overreaction just because Solo wasn't earning $1 billion at the box office. Now, obviously, Solo is not earning what they wanted it to or hoped it would, right? But again, I think we've mentioned on previous episodes, not every Marvel movie was gangbusters awesome. I mean, if you look at the early Marvel movies, The Incredible Hulk did not do great at the box office, and then Iron Man 2 did not do awesome at the box office. That did not stop Kevin Feige from keeping going. You know, so it's like, just because you hit a bump in the road or it's not quite perfect, it seems like this story to me at the very beginning was like, really? I think that's yeah, I think we might be overreacting a bit.
Well, now you listen to their podcast, Jedi Council, right? Mm-hmm. So, and they further discussed this. Did you get anything more out of that? Because I listened to that, and they were saying that, you know, that they've been hearing rumblings about this from quite a few people at Lucasfilm.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing. Like, the story has been changing all week. Like, by the end of the day today, the Hollywood Reporter had come up with a story that was much more kind of reminiscent of what our entire group, Bruce, the Twi'leks of the Night, came up with, which is they're not happy with where they are. They're kind of licking their wounds, the Hollywood Reporter said. And they haven't slowed down development, but they are very much rethinking how they make and market these movies differently. You know, and I think that is everything everybody has kind of said. Solo was just not marketed very well, for one. And two,
the release date.
I think people just weren't, they just weren't ready for it. You know, like, we just had The Last Jedi 5 months ago. People are not ready for more Star Wars just yet. In fact, they were just waiting for the Blu-ray to come out of The Last Jedi, and then that came out. It's like, you know, there's no appetite for another Star Wars film. So I think the way the story has changed, it seems to be much more in line with what I kind of thought it was with the beginning, was, look, we need to kind of rethink maybe how we bring these movies out and make sure we have a good plan in place for these films, so that it makes sense what we're doing. But that doesn't mean that we're going to stop making, you know, Star Wars story films. We're just going to make sure we do it better next time, which is kind of like, I think we all saw the result with Solo, and we're like, yeah, they're just going to need to do this better next time.
So Bria, do you think we are going to get an Obi-Wan film and a Boba Fett film or any other of these films? What are your thoughts on that?
Let me back up a little bit and say the way I look at things is, despite what some news outlets would like you to believe, it is not confirmed until it is on StarWars.com. So a lot of people have kind of treated the Obi-Wan film and the Boba Fett film as being, oh yeah, these are happening. These are definitely happening. And I'm like, where on StarWars.com is this? Please show me. And they're like, oh, no, this place reported it. So I think that a Kenobi film is still possible. I think that they're probably... I think the Collider piece is a giant overreaction, honestly, both from Collider and from the fandom in general. Like, the sky is not falling.
Don't we always make a big deal out of everything, though?
We do. That's true. I kind of just sort of went, okay, when I saw the piece go up and moved on. I think that they're definitely... I mean, Lucasfilm would be foolish to not be sitting back and going, okay, this didn't make the numbers that we wanted. What went wrong? A Fett movie might happen at some point. I don't know. It's not something I particularly want because, okay, like we know a lot about him already. I would prefer to do something new and different. Like, Rian Johnson's trilogy excites me a heck of a lot more than thought of a Boba Fett film.
Yeah, something new, something different, new characters and that sort of thing. Instead, she just keep dipping into the existing stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, but, you know, everything that we've been hearing about maybe not having these spinoff films doesn't sound like it's the content that's the issue. It's like what Matt's saying. It's like, is it, you know, what needs to be reevaluated is how they marketed the film and when
how they
marketed
it, when they drop it. Yeah. Because that's the thing, too, is everyone's like, oh, my God, it's not making money. Well, it was the number one film 2 weeks in a row. Like,
it's still the number five of the year so far. And we're, you know, I know we're only halfway through the year, but it's not a total
but still
failure.
Yeah, still halfway through. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And we had some massive films drop this year. So, you know, maybe settle down just a little bit. Like, it was a great film. And I don't, like, I honestly, this news, I'll just say it. Like, you have to kind of assume that Disney / Lucasfilm is kind of stupid to believe that this it is just the way that they're telling it. There's no way. There's no way that they're like, guys, we didn't make any money on Solo, so we're just going to shut it all down. No. That's, I don't know who I was impersonating here.
That is the worst Pablo Hidalgo I've ever heard anybody.
That's Pablo Hidalgo's not in charge of that.
Hey, let's stop making Star Wars films.
That's the worst Dave Filoni I just heard right there.
it's point being, that's not how things happen. And look,
let's
be honest.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, that's not how the
Don't
force
use
works.
Logic, Matt. Come on.
I
know.
Collider,
my bad. I apologize, Internet.
Look, Collider, you know, they do some fun podcasts and stuff and YouTube shows or whatever, but they don't exactly have the best track record for breaking stuff. Like, let's just call it how it is. All right.
Well, in all fairness, I mean, they're doing the best they can. I mean, they're going by information that they're hearing. They're not, I don't think they're making it up.
Well, one of the things that I really appreciated is Pete over on Twitter, the Pete Awakens, just did a great rundown on Twitter of what we know of the production history from Disney and what they have done with Lucasfilm and the films coming out. And, I mean, when you look through the tumultuous production history of every single film that they have put out, it's nuts. I mean, they have had a lot of issues from the very beginning. And so I think that, look, from all of this, what I take is this, which is super smart. Just slow the F down and, like, figure out what it is that we want to do with Star Wars, why we want to do it with Star Wars. You know, Bruce, we've talked many times. One of the things that we have against some of the things in the sequel trilogy is just that there doesn't seem to be a ton of thought in some of this, and there's not enough context for it all.
We need a plan.
Where's the plan? So
they had
you've had your first quote unquote loss. You know, you've taken the L, but you got to get back up again, right? And so, how do you do that? The best way to do that is to take stock of everything that's happened, figure out where you went wrong, and in all of this, what I have been hearing in all the stories, the one refrain is that we're going to start really just focusing on one thing at a time.
Well, doesn't it sound like in the beginning they were just getting directors and saying, hey, go for it, be creative, make it your own, do a different style? And I think then Lucasfilm started to pull back on that. Lord and Miller are out because of creative differences, and we've heard other similar types of things with other directors. So maybe they're getting a little more conservative and trying to keep the same tone between the different movies instead of going hog wild and trying to make like a comedy out of Solo or do something different with another movie.
Yeah, I think that you're right there, Bruce, because I think that they're trying to basically come back and realize what makes Star Wars what it is and made it so good before, and that they need to have this common thread that's going to stay, because otherwise, if you just let people go off in whatever direction they want, what makes it still part of the Star Wars story together? You know what I mean? It would be too different. And then everyone's going, why have we gone way off on the deep end over here? You know, and they're not understanding what's going on and how they all fit anymore.
And you know what? What you're talking about, it just also made me think about The Last Jedi, in the fact that we have, it's kind of sad in a sense, you have a lot of core Star Wars fans that are upset with The Last Jedi, which we'll talk a little bit more later too in the show. But Lucasfilm's like, so what? You know, we made it it's good, you know, if you like it, great. If you don't, whatever. But then Solo comes out and the majority of people seem to like it that are Star Wars fans. And Lucasfilm's like, oh, we need to reassess because it didn't make money. It's like people complained about the story in The Last Jedi, but we're not going to reassess. But because the movie makes less money, now we'll reassess. It's all, and I don't want to say it's all about the money, but that's what it sounds like.
I mean, they are a business.
Yeah. Right.
What was it Mark said last time? It's about the memories.
Yeah. It is. The hard thing about art is that, look, money is not the arbiter of what is actually good art. That has nothing to do with it. But in business, it is, right? So when you have a business that's surrounded by trying to make quote-unquote art, it's a tough thing to do because you're trying to make money at it, but you're also trying to make something that's artful and says something to people and does something. And, you know, I was talking about this with John Mills just offline the other day, and I don't think he'll be upset about mentioning this, but I was like, people said that they wanted films in the spirit of the original trilogy, but ones that weren't just aping the original trilogy. Solo is that movie! Like, legitimately, Solo is that movie. If you want original trilogy feel without a movie that just feels like it's copying the original trilogy, that's Solo for you. Everything about that screams the original trilogy.
But doesn't it tell you that maybe people don't want the most audiences, what the mass majority doesn't want original trilogy?
What they want.
Well, that too. Yes.
I mean, people say they want this and they want that and everything, you know, and I think that's the thing. And so, again, like coming down to the brass tacks with Solo, I don't think you can blame the film. I think you have to blame the studio for not allowing it to be pushed to December.
I had a great Charlton Heston quote to go with what you were saying, Matt, which is the trouble with movies as a business is that it's an art, and the trouble with movies as an art is that it's a business.
Yeah. I mean, like, I absolutely adore, 100% love Blade Runner 2049.
I just watched that last night.
It's a masterpiece of filmmaking. It's a masterpiece of film. It is art on film. It did not make any money. But you know what? Neither did the original Blade Runner, and then it became a cult classic, and so they made a sequel to, like, you know, so that's kind of sometimes how these things work. And so I do think that as people find Solo later on down the line, it's going to become one of those Star Wars films where it catches on. And I feel like in a lot the same ways where the Clone Wars became this underground movement for fans, and now it's something where you can't divorce Clone Wars from Star Wars anymore.
Yeah, because all the times it would be when it's on Netflix, just think of all the people who didn't see in the theater and, hey, there's a new Star Wars movie sitting right there on Netflix. I would think a lot of people would tune into it because so many people do go to see Star Wars movies. Now, there's Jason Ward at MakingStarWars.com seems to think we're getting a Mos Eisley spaceport movie.
Was it just basically like Tales from the Cantina, the movie?
Yeah.
It seems like the worst idea in history, the long, sad history of bad ideas for film.
I mean, I suspect that there are a ton of story ideas that Lucasfilm is kicking around right now. There was the whole thing with Tom Kane saying there's 9 Star Wars films in various states of production. And I think we would all be foolish to not think that they are not looking at every possible angle, because you never know what's going to work. I think if you told a lot of us that the film about the people who steal the Death Star plans, like, I feel like a lot of people are like, okay, so, like, it could be good, it could not be good. And then a lot of people really loved Rogue One. So I don't necessarily think that, I don't know. The Mos Eisley thing, not my choice. I would really like to move out of the original trilogy era, but it might be good.
Yeah, I mean, if you approach it like a Love Boat series or something, we have different guest stars coming through on the space.
Except there are no boats on Tatooine.
Well, no, there's ships. Ships are boats.
Yeah, they're flying.
They're sail barges.
I agree with you, Brie.
Sail barge.
Because, like you're saying, Brie, like, I think about things at work where I sit in meetings, you know, and kind of the higher executive meetings, you hear ideas come out. Maybe we should go down this road. Maybe we should develop this type of product. I mean, there's things that are being discussed about that, and sometimes it hey, so-and-so, why don't you start looking into that? Let's consider that idea. It only takes one person to come out of that meeting and mention that idea was mentioned in the meeting, and rumor starts to go around that we're doing this thing, this project, when really it was just something talked about, being explored. Like you're saying, different ideas. And I'm sure somebody's probably sat there and go, hey, about a mile-sized spaceport. And maybe the whole room laughed, ha, 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 ha. And one person went and said, yeah, they were talking about it, and it just went from there. You know, yeah. It's like the telephone tag game. Look, or whatever.
Just give us the Crimson Dawn movie.
Yes, please.
I want that, and I want
Solo 2.
I mean, Solo 2 is fine as well, but like I said, having a spiritual sequel would be awesome, and then obviously the Kenobi movie.
I really
want to see Vader and Maul in a lightsaber duel, and then Maul has to run off licking his wounds.
Like, you're absolutely right, Michael. Solo created this whole underworld feel that, as we talked about before, totally deserves a finish to that trilogy, and you can involve all of those characters. Kira, Han, Lando, Chewbacca, Kira. Like, you have an incredible... you can bring Vader into that. You can bring Boba Fett into that. You can bring Kenobi into that. You can do all of these things, and it could be one of the most incredible things you've ever seen in Star Wars.
I just had something occur to me. What if the Mos Eisley thing is actually basically the Boba Fett thing?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a diversion, like try to not call it directly Boba Fett.
But he's on Tatooine.
True.
So.
And Solo's heading there, too. It could be a mixture of both.
Granted, I think this is all... I think most of the rumors are BS anyways, but it could be. I don't know.
I like that you say it's BS, because then later last week, we were talking about the whole thing about not doing spinoff films, but then ABC News' Clayton Sandel comes back and says, nope, we have an official word from Lucasfilm that there's still multiple films currently in development, and that these projects are separate from the you know, saga films. They're making other spinoff films. So we are getting spinoff films. So that's what I mean. It's like, one minute we're not, one minute we are. I mean, I think it is so vague right now. They're just figuring things out. And it's like you said, Bria, that's the thing that always got me. It was like, everybody's getting upset that these films could be canceled. I'm like, but they never announced that they were happening. We were never told about a Boba Fett film. We were never told about. What are you laughing about, Matt?
No, I'm just, you're absolutely right. Like,
I mean, it's crazy, right?
I just, sometimes I miss the days when there were just like magazines with movie news, and like you had to wait each month for the movie news to come out. And there wasn't this obsession with having every intimate detail of every single film. And sometimes I think it just hurts us as fans. And then, like, we're yelling at each other over Twitter or whatever about things that legitimately may or may not even be true or matter in like 3 months.
Listen, you want to see that's true? Y-wings suck. That's a true thing I will continue to yell about on Twitter.
See, I mean, that's the argument that we fans can have. Do Y-wings suck? Are B-wings better? Yes. But, okay, that's a good B-wings fan discussion. But, like, whether or not a movie's going to get made and all this stuff, like, look, it shouldn't matter. All that should matter is that when the film comes out, we judge the film for what that is. Who cares about all the background stuff anyway? Because
or who cares about what the previous movie was?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Solo had a tumultuous background. It turned out to be a fantastic film. Rogue One was the same way. The Force Awakens had a really hard road to getting to where it was going to be. It's good. You know, I mean, it's like, so
J.J. Abrams literally broke his back.
Yeah. We need to stop obsessing.
Someone reminded me of that the other day, and I'm like, that's right. That totally happened.
When we were watching the interview with Alden, and they were talking about, him and Jonas were talking about Harrison and J.J. getting injured.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I was going to add, too, to what you're saying, Matt, and what Bria also said is that you have to look at who your sources are anyway for the news that you're getting. I mean, I would definitely trust an ABC more than I would trust, you know, fan sites right off the bat. And it does seem like a little bit of a stretch to go, oh, immediately everything's going to be halted because Solo didn't make a lot of money. I just wouldn't believe that right off the bat anyway. But yeah, I think unless it's on StarWars.com that you have to be kind of discerning with whether or not you believe what you're reading.
Yeah, there's times people say, oh, did you hear blah, blah, blah? And I say, oh, was that on StarWars.com? No, it came from, I'm like, okay, well, I'll believe it when I hear from StarWars.com. Or I'll believe it if I hear it on the Star Wars report.
I was going to say, like, either StarWars.com or if it's coming straight from Entertainment Weekly, usually they're fairly legit.
That's true.
And those are the only two where I'll be like, okay, Variety. You have this and you're publishing it on your site. Okay, I will pay attention to Entertainment Weekly because they've just been the general outlet. But yeah, like, I just want to make a shirt. Says it's not confirmed unless it's on StarWars.com.
I said Variety's the other day to these guys that just call me when the movie comes out. Like, I don't even want to know. Just like, oh, there's a movie that just came out, a new Star Wars movie? Great.
What do you think, then, with what happened with Solo, what would be your best prescription of making sure that this doesn't happen again?
Space the movies further. I think Marvel has built up to the point where they can do multiple films in a year because they had, you saw them do Black Panther in February and then Avengers last week of April. They built up to that. They made their audiences expect to have multiple films within a year. I don't think Star Wars should do that. I think they should space them a year apart. They should keep to January. I think that they should, as we all said earlier, vary their subject matter. If you keep doing backstories, yes, you'll get the nostalgia, but people are going to get bored. Yeah, essentially that. I mean, and also just to reiterate what I said before, of course, Lucasfilm is paying attention and trying to see, hey, we didn't make as much money as we wanted to. How can we make more going forward? Like, that's just, it's just common sense. And I think they're going to do better going forward after this, though, as far as marketing.
For me personally, I think the reason that the Marvel films work so well and that they can put out so many different ones is because they're not all marketed as Marvel films. They're, you know, it's Black Panther or Ant-Man or whatever. You know, it's really no different than like, oh, Batman or Superman. You know, they put these things out and they're, for the most part, they're their own contained stories that will sometimes cross over, but you can... you know, you can digest them as their own contained stories. And I really think that that is what, you know, if that's what Lucasfilm wants to do, then that's what they need to try to start marketing them as and start making sure that those are the stories that they have. That not everything is, you know, the rebellion versus the giant galactic empire or, you know, resistance, first order, you know, whatever, that it needs to feel different, which is why, like I said, I've been so adamant that, you know, this, because people say, well, Solo didn't take any chances. I'm like, this is the first one that they didn't have the Empire as the big bad, you know, and I think that's awesome. And I want to see that direction going forward.
So I do want to confirm, though, are you saying you want the self-contained stories in the spinoff movies or in all of the movies?
Well, I mean, honestly, at this point, I don't know that you can... I mean, they talk about saga films and stuff, and I don't know that there's anywhere to really go with that any further or that, you know, we could really make any sort of judgment on that until after 9. So I'm talking about the stuff around it, you know, whether that's the Benioff and Weiss or, you know, Rian Johnson's films or, you know, Boba Fett or whatever. I think that it needs to be, it needs to have its totally unique feel and not just rely on the Star Wars name and what we, you know, the overarching few things that we know about Star Wars of, oh, Empire versus the Rebels, Jedi versus Sith, lightsabers versus blasters, you know, like spread it out some, make it a bit different.
Right. Because there are certain things you could keep the same as far as the like themes and everything without having to have it be exactly the same as the original trilogy movies. because I mean that's what I feel like we've all been saying that Solo did, is that it kept some of that feel, even though it was an origin story, it did go off in a new direction. I mean, with it being more of this underworld kind of environment, and then tying all of the other, you know, the literature and the TV shows in, that was something that's never been done before. So I think that you're right in that we could have these next groups of films do more of that and still accept it as Star Wars. And I'll add to it my answer to Matt's question about what I think would make it continue to be successful. I'm sure that at some point they saw, okay, we're looking at this release date, what films are going to be coming out that same time, and that somebody thought that it would be fine coming out in the midst of Infinity War and Deadpool 2, I would immediately question whether that's a good idea. So it seems kind of odd that they ended up moving forward with it anyway, and then being so close to The Last Jedi.
They can't interfere with Mary Poppins.
And then, too, I have to say, I feel like we didn't see as much merchandise in general for Solo as we did for Rogue One, even.
I think that this is where it comes in that you do need to find somebody to help be the creative director to oversee the entire flow of Star Wars, whatever's happening, so that it all connects and it all, they can say, you know what, we can do that, but we can't do that. You know, and whoever that person is, they just need to find that person in the same way Marvel has a fight.
I call, you know, dibs, Bruce.
You have to have somebody who completely understands the ins and outs of every single part of Star Wars and what makes something Star Wars. And the only person that I do know that does that is Dave. The only person I know that truly gets Star Wars like George is Dave.
Wait, though. I have to add to that. Wasn't it John Kasdan who said Maul needed to be in Solo?
And he, somebody like that too. I mean, I think there are people out there. It doesn't have to just be him. But I do think that you need to find that person. I think Kathy is amazing at the business, but when it comes to creative, I think you need to find that person who is solely sold out to. That their only job is the creative side, and they don't have to worry about the business side. Kathy takes care of that.
See, here's the thing, though, is it's funny that you use the Marvel comparison, because the Marvel films all feel very different. Like, the Favreau's Iron Man films are not the same as the last Thor film, and they're not the same as Guardians of the Galaxy. So I wouldn't say that Feige, he's been guiding the Marvel universe, but I wouldn't say he's been keeping it necessarily cohesive. And honestly, I actually would like something like that. I would like different Star Wars films to have different feels, especially if we're going to broaden the film topics more. Like, if we get a Mandalorian Wars film, I am 100% here for that. And I don't think it should feel like an original trilogy film.
So I have a question on, do you think that if we start getting the live action television shows that go in different directions, that they don't feel exactly like the films that we've gotten for the most part, do you think that will sort of train people to think differently about Star Wars, and then their expectations will be different going into these films?
I think so. I mean, especially if you are introducing all new storylines, all new characters, all new situations to get people used to Star Wars isn't just one particular thing. It's not just about the Jedi. It's not just about the Empire. It's more than that. It's expansive. And a TV show allows you to breathe the universe and introduce a lot of new elements and new characters and things, and that they might get used to the idea that this is more of an expansive universe than what the general population probably thinks of Star Wars. And I think if a lot of people were watching that series and then a movie comes out that's a little different from what we've had before, I think they may be more open to it.
So you do something totally different like this that I'm going to pitch right now, Hunger Games, but with Rathtars. Think about it.
See, okay.
So I just
hold on, I have questions. Are the Rathtars the tributes or the people in the capital?
And does one of them volunteer as tribute to go in for her sister?
So they're broken up into the different, what did they call them? Like the different districts. Yeah. So like District 9 are the Rathtars, but like District 7 will be the Sarlaccs, and then District 4 will be the like Rancors. The Dianaga. No, I'm talking specifically tentacle monsters.
Now we're being like speciesist. Okay.
Is Lady Proxima in there somewhere doing something?
Where's Borgullet?
Oh, Borgullet is
They can bother. I mean, like, that seems unfair with their mind powers.
That's obviously why they're from District 1 or District 2, because they're the ones who always win.
I'm telling you. Borgullet is what was his name? Cena? Who? What was
Seneca Crane?
Probably.
President Snow?
No. I'm talking about the musician.
The beard dude?
Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz. There we go. What was his character's name?
Cinna.
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
Like short for cinnamon.
Close enough. So that's Borgullet. He makes the designs for all the like all the costumes for the other tributes.
Hey, this is Sam Witwer from Being Human, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Well, you know what I'm excited about? I'm excited about that we have patrons through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And in there, you can also pledge some money that would help to keep our show up and going. And so I encourage you to check it out. Go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And so we also recently got a review from Jedi DS. On iTunes, we got 5 stars. It says, "The Star Wars Report is something we need more of in fandom right now. This show is positive. This show is fun. And this show is a must-listen for all Star Wars fans. Thank you all for all you do. May the Force be with you and your families." Well, thank you, Jedi DS, for that 5-star review. We appreciate it. And if anybody else wants to give us a review on iTunes, please look for The Star Wars Report on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and give us a review. And if you do a written review, we will read it on the show. Also, you can send us an email, just like Stephanie Omida sent us an email to StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And it's a lengthy email, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but she does point out that she's seen like The Phantom Menace 27 times, and this is in theaters, 27 times for The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones 8 times, Force Awakens 23 times, Solo she's already seen 10 times. She's 62 years old, and she just wanted to say, and I'm going to read this straight from the email. She says, "You rightly paired what is going on in fandom to the increasing toxicity in social media in general. But yet, it's been my observation that this kind of toxicity and bullying has always been a part of the internet. In 1999, the first chat room I ever entered was an X-Files one, and the people in there, within minutes, harassed me for being a casual fan rather than one who has memorized everything about X-Files. I quickly backed out and never returned. Yikes. In my opinion, much of what happened in fan internet is a result of the empowering protection of being anonymous. Human-to-human conversations are always best when taking place in real time and in person with someone who knows your real name, your history, your culture, your workplace, your family, and maybe has spent hours in the same physical space as yourself. The Star Wars celebrations do this on a small scale, and indeed, consistent fan friendships last far beyond celebration time." And she goes on to explain that then through StarWars.com, she was in the fan forums and she met people, and they start something called lineup.net, where they would meet at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood, and they would all stay in line. People from Australia, Guatemala, Canada, Great Britain, Mexico, all different fans from different countries all would come. And they also supported the charity of Starlight Children's Foundation, which Mark Hamill endorses. And they've made a lot of friends in that manner. So she just says, you know, you need to find a safe place to talk, but it all starts with yourself. It's about, as she says, "My behavior as a fan needs to be civil. Like the old saying, be kind, rewind." And she quotes a famous Jewish rabbi who once said, "Do good to those who hate you, but you are only good to those who you like. Why should you be rewarded?" And so she, what she does is sometimes if she has a problem, she actually will write a letter and send it to herself just to take her frustrations out. So I just wanted to share that email with all you listeners, and want to thank her for sending us an email. And thank you, Stephanie. And again, if anybody wants to send an email and wants us to read it on the show, we will do that at StarWarsReport@gmail.com. So does anybody have anything they want to add to that about her take on fandom and how to approach things? I'm just amazed she saw The Phantom Menace 27 times in the theater.
I appreciate this because I think historical perspective is important. And, you know, I was around when the internet just started too. And I can concur. The internet has always been a cesspool for meanie pants. It's always been that way. I mean, message boards were awful. And they that's the reason they had moderators to step in and be like, nope, you're out. You know, like, that's the point of those kind of things. And so, but we can't let, you know, a few people get us down. And I really like her point, you know, of saying, you know, if you only are nice to those people who are nice to you, are you really a good person?
Well, and I was going to say, too, I like what she said because it reminded me of why I got more enveloped in Star Wars groups and conventions and everything like I am. Because when I remember looking up the Hothlanta Rebels and went to the first lunch I ever went to, they go once a month to eat at Fuddruckers.
That was the first time you ever went to lunch?
No. The first Rebels lunch I ever went to.
The first Fuddruckers.
Yeah, but I remember going and feeling like I'm not sure if I'm going to be accepted by this group because they're probably like super fans and they're going to think like, oh, I'm not as good of a fan as they are and they're not going to like me and not going to talk to me. But that's not how it was at all. They welcomed me with open arms and said, just because you're interested is enough. And we want to be here to talk to you about what we love and to make you love it even more, not to exclude you for not knowing as much about it as we do. And so, you know, you just build from there, and it needs to be a community of love and acceptance first and just talking about what we love rather than excluding people.
Well, and then there's the getting involved in like the 501st, you know, Bria, you know, you probably have great experiences with the 501st.
What makes you think that?
I don't know.
That I'm wearing a 501st sweatshirt
right
now?
I have no idea.
Or has, what, 10 approved costumes already?
11.
Oh, good wow. Lord. I don't
counting?
Even have one. You're killing me.
I was an overachiever last year. It's fine. But yeah, no, I was just going to actually, what you were saying earlier, Matt, about message boards, I think that social media has made it harder for people to necessarily find the safer spaces. I was on those message boards when I was 13, 14 years old, and yes, there were some fights going on in the fanfic sections, but we had moderators, and we didn't generally have the guys coming in and saying, you can't sit in our treehouse, because I guess they didn't want to catch the girls' fanfic cooties, whatever.
Which is weird, because I always wanted the girls' cooties, so I'm just saying.
I guess you could have come into the fanfic boards. We had lots of fights over whether or not there should be a banner up of Anakin's bare chest. One year. It was very strange. But I also say, like, what you guys are saying is it's a lot harder for someone to be mean to your face. There are people who will send me things which I just wave off. Like, you want to come and yell about item I mentioned, I have the mute button. But those same people will never say that to my face.
Right.
Whether that's because I terrify them or they're like, oh, there's a human here is up for debate. But I think there's definitely a lot to be said for the in-person community. That's how I know all of you guys, DragonCon. So,
yeah, I mean, I like her in her email. She mentions about being anonymous, and that's how most people are. Even if they have a name, it's like I don't really know the person. And what I've really discovered in the last year or so is I've started to talk more when I meet people in general, whether it's, you know, I'm out doing something personal or I'm in a business meeting with someone, and I'll casually at some point just bring up Star Wars just to kind of test the waters. And there's been a lot of times I've met people who are like, oh man, you don't know, I'm a big Star Wars fan. And then you have this bond, and all of a sudden I'm making more and more Star Wars friends. And if I want to talk Star Wars, I talk with, you know, the people on the show, people I've met through the show, and people I've met in person through a Star Wars connection. And I don't feel the need to go online and debate with strangers that I have no idea what that person is on the other side. And it's like, I don't know anything about them. I don't know if they're nice or not. And you know, so I would just encourage people to try, even if you meet some people online, you know, just keep it to a small group. You don't need the whole internet, and you don't need to attack people and argue. I feel like we should have a song, like we should sing something at this point.
No.
People are people.
I'm not singing.
We are the world.
Oh, God. Lord.
We are the children.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of, hey, guess what? There's a group out there trying to remake The Last Jedi. So so we've got a tweet here. It's from, maybe I shouldn't even promote the Twitter handle. Ah, why not? RM The Last Jedi, Remake The Last Jedi. They say, our team of producers is offering to cover the budget for a remake of The Last Jedi in order to save Star Wars. Share this and spread the word to let Bob Iger and Disney know you want this. This isn't a joke. We're ready to have the convo now. Hashtag remake The Last Jedi. Which Rian Johnson replies, please, 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 please. And all these little emoji claps. He's like all excited that they're going to remake his movie.
This is the stupidest thing I've heard of. In a while.
Well, here's...
When you have Seth Rogen being like, WTF, that should be a sign you're not doing this right.
Here's the thing. Before everybody gets too, like, wrapped up, I will split. This is a joke. Like, this is... I found something on YouTube where they were actually talking, I guess, with the person who made it. And they're like, yeah, this is just like,
no,
I guess
he
you
says
call
this
or...
isn't a joke.
That's what
the tweet
that's
says.
The first.
That's what people that are joking tell you.
Yeah, you can call it a troll or a joke or whatever, but yeah, this it's not so, because none of the stuff makes any sense. Like the
well, yeah, there's a lot of stuff on Twitter that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I know,
yeah.
But even like looking at their, I'm trying to pull it up to look at their for their. GoFundMe or whatever it was, that it's just like they have the tears and stuff that are, it's just all ridiculous.
I'm sorry, have you met Star Wars fandom?
No, I
does
I
it
know.
Make sense I... ridiculous. We have them all.
So far this tweet has more likes than people who saw Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Oh.
That's sad.
See, this is the thing that drives me crazy about any fandom. It's like, you know what? You can not like something in it and still be okay with the whole, right? Mm-hmm. I don't really like The Last Jedi. I don't think it's a very good Star Wars movie. Does that kill my entire love of the Star Wars movie and make me want to remake the movie? No, you just accept it and move on. That's part of fandom. Like,
exactly.
You know, it's like, I don't like all the Aliens films because, like, 3 and beyond are awful until I liked Alien Covenant, but, like, it's like you.
Don't watch AVP Requiem.
It doesn't
make
me a fan of something just because I don't like some of it, or it doesn't completely work for me,
Matt,
right?
I love cheeseburgers. I love cheeseburgers, but I don't like pickles on it. That doesn't mean that I hate, like, I just avoid the pickles.
Well,
right?
Clearly you're not a real cheeseburger fan, Bruce.
Yeah, come on.
True cheeseburger
fake
fans
burger
will
fan.
Eat it.
The pickles ruin it.
Look, so here's, so I had
it's
some
ruined
ideas.
My childhood.
What if we take and we do a GoFundMe to where we remake The Last Jedi, but get this, shot scene for scene, just like The Last Jedi, but with Lego.
Well, that might happen anyway.
I thought you were going to go with something like Porgs or Lothcats, but...
Honestly, I think The Last Jedi would probably play better as a Lego movie. I mean, I like The Last Jedi, but, you know, Luke throwing the saber over his shoulder as a Lego character and then walk around going...
Lothcats.
Love Lothcats.
It's really cute.
I bet Lothcats would eat Porgs.
I was probably a fan of the Porgs, by the way. So don't be hating on me.
I mean,
me
I liked when Chewie roasted one. I was like, ooh, I bet Porg wings are delicious with some nice barbecue sauce.
Oh, man,
you've been
really
milking
tasty
that joke forever.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I would eat a pork.
See, thank you, Bria. Bria's on my side.
I'm just really indifferent about the pork, which, I mean, I'm also kind of indifferent about Ewoks as well.
But are you indifferent about what Chuck Wendig said about authors?
Oh, good. You go for it, Matt. Do it.
I want to hear Michael's opinion on this because he's the one who brought it up.
You got to give me a better segue than that.
I'll give you a good segue. So Chuck Wendig tweets, writers are not your dancing monkeys. We do not create products. You are not our customers. Welcome to my TED Talk.
Okay, my personal opinions on that. No, you're not my dancing monkey. You do, by definition, create a product. We are, by definition, the customer. What was the other one?
And welcome to my TED Talk.
Thanks for having me. I don't know.
Okay, those who are wondering, if you're like, who's Chuck Wendig anyway? So he wrote the Aftermath books, and he also did the comic for, was it?
The Force Awakens
comic.
Yep. And he did, he also did the story, the Cantina story in...
in the point of...
Had Akmina.
Mm-hmm.
Certain point
and
of view.
Yeah, and he's doing the Vader annual number 2.
Okay, cool. So that's who Chuck Wendig is. And he's a very interesting tweeter. Is that what you call
tweeter?
Someone who tweets a tweeter?
No. Bria's
I think
face
Matt
right
fell
now
on the floor.
She's not in front.
Because she's a tweeter. So...
Oh, no, he didn't.
She's just looking like, I can't believe you just said that.
So...
That's just my face.
It's just how her
it's
face
okay
looks.
It was. Thanks, Michael, Sarah.
So here's the thing, Michael. Thing, you have to read all his tweets. We're not going to go through and read all his tweets because we'll be here all day. Because he did a lot of them, but the tweets are his TED Talk. And he basically, he says that, for example, you know, he's being attacked by people on Twitter. And, you know, when he doesn't respond right away, someone then tweets him back and says, you didn't answer my question. And he's like, you know, I can't reply to everything.
Right.
Twitter is a river, is a fast river. I miss stuff. He didn't say stuff.
Right.
So I'm going to read. So he says, writers and artists are not really in the customer service business. We do not cater to your needs. That cannot be how this relationship works because we don't make widgets and dongles. We don't make products. So he goes on and explains that products are a thing you judge by how well it does the thing that thing is supposed to do. If a coffee maker sprays a cat urine in your face, then you have a good reason to complain. It has failed in its task. That's what he's saying. So he's not making a product like...
I mean...
Except he is being paid to write a book.
That someone bought.
Or a comic,
I mean, that's,
or whatever.
That's, to
but
me,
the product
that's,
is from Lucasfilm.
I get
and
what
he's saying,
saying
is it's content. Like what they do, because he has the next tweet down there. It says, but a book or a painting or a movie, whatever, isn't a thing with a singular task. And those who come to that story with a binary expectation are likely to be disappointed. That's why I resist suggesting we create content, because content is snugly adjacent to product.
I mean, I get what he's saying, but at the same time, I think it's also just like semantics that it's, I understand it, like in the context of him trying to, like his overall statement about basically trying to please everyone. I get that. I just like have a fundamental disagreement with his definitions of things.
And that may, but I think what he's really trying to get across from people is that, you know, he's not there to cater to them and give them exactly what they want, and you're not going to please everybody. So the fact that he's getting attacked because if some people don't like his books or his writing, okay, that's fine. He can't guess and sit there and figure out, well, I need to do it this way so that everybody's happy. He is a writer, he's an artist, he's creating his own work, and if the person purchasing his work wants to make that into a product and sell it, then be it. But he's not going to try to, you know, serve the customer and give the customer what they
but
want.
But that's not. But also, with the there's contracts and things that when he does that, like once again, just talking purely from the semantics of it or whatever. I mean, he doesn't just like, I just made a thing or what, like that. There's before you even start making the thing, you have a proposal that, you know, you,
right,
you have
a proposal
to give.
That is then accepted or denied, and it was accepted.
Right. And it's accepted or denied based on, you know, is this going to sell? And, you know, and that's up to them to do that.
But that's them, not him.
Yeah. And let's be clear that Aftermath did sell well. All three books were on the bestseller list. Let's be clear about that.
The whole point of this, it's a business. It's to make money, especially with tie-in fiction. Its whole point is to make money. It's not to be art. That's just, what? So I think in the end, you are creating a product, and we are the customers. We can like it or dislike it. I don't happen to like the Aftermath trilogy. I don't care. I just didn't like the books. That's fine.
Let me ask you this. Did you then proceed to tweet Chuck multiple times telling him how much you hated the Aftermath trilogy and they were social justice garbage?
No, but I mean...
Exactly. But that's my point, though.
And I get that, too, but I also think that... let me be honest. Chuck doesn't have to respond to those people. And again, that's where the block button comes in. And that's what I think, like, just rising above and letting it go, putting them in the can of, like, I don't need to hear from those people, is better than just creating flame wars between each other that doesn't do anybody any good.
Okay, but here's the thing. We all exist in a very different Twitter realm than someone like Chuck does. Like, none of us have anywhere near how many followers he has. I haven't checked all of our numbers recently, but I feel pretty confident in saying that. So, on a daily basis, and I think a lot of the thread is important here, because he's not necessarily talking about Star Wars books here. He's talking about how, you know, hey, someone didn't answer, you know, someone gets mad at him for not answering one of his questions. He's right. He is not his Twitter should not be treated like customer service. Like, no writer is ever obligated to answer our questions on social media. And no writer should ever feel obligated, unless they're told by someone who is paying all of their bills, that they cannot talk politics on social media. Like, it is every person's prerogative to talk about politics or not to talk about politics. And whether you like it or not, art tends to be political in one way or another. Star Wars is, to an extent, a political statement. Telling people, oh, you write Star Wars, you should never have political opinions, it's not fair. Otherwise, look at the two original trilogies. That's a weird thing to say, two original trilogies. But it's a thing. And as when you're getting, I'm not necessarily saying that I would choose to do what Chuck does with a lot of the hate that gets slung his way. But I think that what we see him responding to is a very small proportion of what it is. And I agree with him that authors are not, like I said, authors aren't a customer service. This is not like when you tweet American Airlines, you expect American Airlines to respond to you because of your problem. Authors don't do that, and they shouldn't have to do that.
Right. And I'm definitely not saying that at all. I mean, it's the privilege that we have to be able to connect with people that are popular is amazing. And the fact that they respond to us is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, and anybody who's in any kind of job where it's an actor or author or writer, you know, any of these people in the industry, that's really cool that they would take the time out to respond to us. And again, I just think it comes down to, like, we just all need to start treating each other as human beings. And so Chuck, I'm sure, gets a ton of hate, which is dumb, because if you don't like a book, don't read it. You know,
but these people aren't doing that, which is the thing.
Which I get. But I also think sometimes the response is just as disturbing and just as flaming as the original tweet. And I think
I can't agree with that. I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to. I do believe, though, that
the response does not have to be in kind. So
I don't think that what Chuck's been doing is in kind.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. That's, again, that's for you to believe. From some of the things I've seen, I think that there have been some places where it's been too much on both sides. Does have to be careful.
Well, and that's that, all I'm saying. In that case, then, in my opinion, the publisher or Lucasfilm, the licensee, needs to have a contract with these authors that states what they can and can't do, which obviously they don't. But it's, if anything, if the behavior is something that the publisher doesn't like in the author or the licensee doesn't like in the author, then they just won't hire them again. I don't think they can prevent them from saying what they want to say publicly because they're not really employees of, they're contractors.
Well, I mean, there's companies. Yeah, but there's lots of, that happens all the time. I mean, for instance, a lot of Marvel and DC comics, a lot of the writers are contractors. They're not actually, like, for instance, now I just forgot, Chip Zdarsky. Like, he just got hired on, he was writing, I can't think. Of course, now I'm blanking out. But point being, he was doing work for Marvel, but wasn't specifically a Marvel employee up until just recently. WWE wrestling, every single one of their wrestlers is actually independent contractors. And with that, it all comes down to what's in their contract, depending on whether or not the company puts that in the contract or not.
Well, here's the thing I'm going to add, though, is that I do completely agree with Bria's statement about how, it is still his personal Twitter and, he's not required at all to respond to people if he doesn't want to or whatever. It's not a company Twitter account. But I think that all of the contractors or writers need to be careful, though, because even if it's not in your contract, anybody that has a job knows that they still consider certain things gray areas where you're still technically representing wherever you work, even if it is your personal Twitter. So, at my job, there's certain times when I'm not at the office, but like today I was at our summer camp and I'm still representing my office. And so there's certain things that even though I would want to say are not going to be considered okay, even if it's not spelled out somewhere.
So how long is he obligated to do this for you guys then?
To do
I think as long as he's writing for Lucasfilm, I think that it,
I mean, technically you guys are telling me that I have to be held to these same standards because I freelance for StarWars.com. So if people started coming and attacking me, I wouldn't be essentially this is the same thing is because I freelance for them and I have a contract that I'm not allowed to reply back if people start telling me things like no.
No, not that you're not allowed to reply, just saying like being careful about how you reply. I think that, it just can look unprofessional if like there's a lot of profanity or whatever, in the way that you would communicate with the readers.
I mean, thing is though, I'm sorry, Lucasfilm knew who they were, Lucasfilm and Del Rey knew who they were hiring when they hired Chuck.
That's true.
His Twitter has always been kind of, his I hate to say brand, but his brand is kind of is being a very big personality. It's how he writes. It's how his blog is. It's how his Twitter is. So I think that by trying to say, oh, well, if you're not behaving to our exacting standards for this because you've been, we don't like how you're dealing with getting harassed, I think that's a very tricky and slippery slope to be on.
Well, I mean, any company can do that, though. I mean, any company can say, I mean, that's the company's prerogative to
yeah,
be
well,
able to do
they
that.
Wouldn't have to whether, hire him back again.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah, whether they
clearly
do that
they
or
have
don't,
multiple
yeah, whether
times.
They do that right. or they don't do that stopped. Is up to the company. And
he's not writing for Stars, he's written.
Right.
If they hire him
well,
again.
He's about to, yeah, he's about to write a new comic for them too.
Right, but so, they continue
the comic's
to hire.
The comic's coming out in the, yeah.
And not just one publisher, but different publishers.
Yeah.
So clearly they're fine.
in the end, it comes down to Star Wars, what they want to do in Lucasfilm. So it's up to them.
And not remake The Last Jedi.
Unless it's with Lego.
Exactly.
Don't remake The Last Jedi, okay?
Unless it's with Lego.
Go to my GoFundMe page to rewrite Aftermath.
Remake Aftermath.
It's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
So, Michael, tell us something that you happened this week with Star Wars that you bought. Or this is going to lighten the mood, too. So, anything you experienced, something Star Wars you did or bought this week?
I bought a bunch of stuff again. So, I got, I've been getting these little mini mystery mini bobblehead things here for Solo.
Okay.
What are they calling them? Yeah, mystery mini bobblehead. And I've bought a few of these now, but all I really want is Lando, and I can't freaking get the Lando. I've gotten two L3s, so I was like, here, Christy, take this. Put it on your desk at work. And then I got a Beckett, which is probably the most disappointing of all of them. I'm like, eh, what am I going to do with this? And then I got a Han, and then I actually got two Chewies, both of which are pretty cool. I got the Vandor Chewie and then the Beast Chewie. And then I also went to Toys R Us because, of course, you know, they've got their crazy sales going on right now. And yes. I picked up the little Ezra on the speeder bike for like $8. And then I got the Akbar and other dude pack. I just wanted the Akbar for $12. And then I got the gigantic freaking BB-8 playset for $60. I think that thing was normally like $300 or something, and I got it for $60, and it's pretty awesome.
Dang. Man, you've been out shopping a lot this week.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Christy, did he leave any money for you to do anything this week?
Well, it wasn't this week, but I don't know if you guys have seen the picture that I posted. Hopefully a video coming soon, but we got the speeder from Toys R Us that you can drive around in.
Yes.
And I drove it.
Yeah, because she meets the weight limit, so she's like, I'm buying this. I'm like,
what are the weight
right,
limits
I guess.
In that thing?
130 pounds. I checked.
And she's like, I'm good.
So there is a video he took of me driving it around the living room.
Oh, I didn't see that. Did you post
that?
In the chat? It was awesome.
Yeah, it was in the chat.
Oh, I missed that. I have to go back.
She's driving around, bumping into stuff, and Lucy's going nuts and like biting one of the little turbines.
Yeah, our dog was like, hey, quit pushing me with that thing. I'm going to turn around and bite it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have to go check that out.
Yeah, everybody needs to go to your local Toys R Us before they shut down because it was originally like $250 and was marked down to $75.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, yeah,
Matt, I'm past the weight limit too. So.
I am too, but I'll try.
You could get to that weight limit a lot quicker than I could, Matt.
Well, Bruce, you have children
that
probably are. If I was 130
pounds, the doctor would be like, "You need to gain some weight, bro."
Oh,
but I just love that the lady at Toys R Us asked if it was for my child, and I was like, "My inner child."
Great answer. Great answer.
Oh my God. I don't have one, but it's
so the moral of the story is I can buy BB-8 playsets if I want to.
That's right.
Because Christy buys stuff too.
Dang it. That's right. Matt, what do you got?
So you know, this week there was a wonderful announcement from Funko Pops that a Clone Wars line was coming out. And I am ecstatic about this. Because I have wanted these for the longest time. Anybody who has heard me before knows how much I love, absolutely adore the Clone Wars. And so I have pre-ordered them, and I cannot wait for them to come. I'll have to go to Hot Topic to get the exclusives that they got. They have an Ahsoka exclusive, and then they'll also be carrying the Cad Bane exclusive from, what is it, San Diego Comic-Con. Which I cannot wait for, because Cad Bane is the best bounty hunter there is.
Yes, I agree.
So I'm.
Excuse me.
Morrison is dead.
Yeah, Wara Singh's dead. You know,
hey, she lives on.
She just
in
got
our
pushed.
Hearts.
You know, the fall killed her. So, anyway, no. Hondo is great too, but I wouldn't call him a bounty.
Yeah,
hunter.
He's not. He's a pirate, and
okay,
that's
fine.
My frustration.
Yeah, so
I'm frustrated.
He's
because
his own
no
category.
Hondo
so alone,
he's a Hondo.
Just the Hondo category. But yes, so the fact that they're bringing out the Clone Wars pops just is amazing, and I can't wait till they get here and they're on my shelf, and I can. My Ahsoka's going to enjoy. I literally have like an Ahsoka shrine on my desk. So
I keep waiting for them to come up with a Chuck Wendig pop. But anyway, that's a whole other thing.
It comes with a button that just when you press it, it says profanity.
Okay, enough of that.
I would buy that actually.
Speaking of profanity, Bria, what did you do this week?
So I swear a lot. Let's see. Okay, happened, inspired, or we bought or experienced. I didn't go to Toys R Us. I dressed up as Aiden for a 501st troop. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts. Yeah.
Yeah, we do a, my local squad, we do a monthly troop at the kids' hospital. So get to walk around for a couple hours as Aiden Versio. I make one of the stormtroopers dance. It's great. I don't dance. Special Forces does not dance.
Are you the Aiden in the CRL?
No, that's Janina.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, I was wondering because there's no helmetless picture, so I was like, I don't...
No, Janina's the CRL for Aiden.
That's
cool. TJ Ramini's the CRL for Dell, and I was the CRL for Sen.
You are the CRL for Aphra.
And I guess...
I am the CRL for Aphra. One of them.
We're dropping this like everybody knows. CRL,
what is CRL?
Stands for Costume Reference Library.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's not actually, yeah, it's a breakdown of all of the pieces that you need to get approved for a 501st costume. It'll include a picture and then a lot of bullet points about what each item needs to have. It's incredibly useful, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, Matt, I have a Bria shrine by accident. She gave me cards of all of her costumes. So I have
right.
like five cards of Bria's
She's got
face.
It like next to her bed. She's like, don't touch this. Don't touch this.
Well, they're actually my bookmarks, believe it or not.
I have
some. That's right.
I think we need
to
have a conversation.
You said that George Harrison didn't believe you, that you knew the Seventh Sister in Virginia.
I know.
She does it every time. She's like, look who I know. And I'm like, she's not a local celebrity. Like,
I don't know.
She writes for StarWars.com. Of course she's a celebrity.
She's been at Dragon Con 10 times.
She's going to get blue checkmarked any day now on Twitter.
Oh, good God. Thanks, guys.
I hear there's a pop coming out soon.
I just want an Afro pop, and they're not making one yet. And
I want a
I
Hondo pop.
About that.
I mean, at least
Hondo
with...
Hondo pop.
At least...
You got a good chance of that.
Apparently not, because they're like, we're doing the Clone Wars, but we're not going to include your favorite Clone Wars character,
well,
Michael.
I bet they have a wave
I don't know
two
why
and
I think Funko talks like
Clone
that.
Wars.
Do what?
I'll bet they'll have a Wave 2 and a Wave 3 of Clone Wars.
They better.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many characters you could do in the Clone Wars, it's insane.
Art Funko, I will at you.
I want to...
Oh, I already added them about Aphra multiple times.
I would get Aphra. I want a Puffer Pig whoopee cushion. That's what I want. You blow it up,
random
then you
thing.
Pin somebody's chair.
Ooh,
and...
No, even better. Get one of those, you know, like the punch balloons?
Yeah. I'd do
a
that
pig
too.
Punch
the Puffer Pig.
Oh my
Maybe
God.
That should be the name of the episode. No, I'm not going to name it that.
Oh my God.
So, my Boba's Bounty is I bought Star Wars popsicles the other day, and they come in three great flavors. You have First Order Cherry, Blue Raspberry Resistance, and Galactic Watermelon. And I like the Galactic Watermelon. It was pretty good. It's green. That one's green, and of course, the Blue Raspberry is blue. And the First Order Cherry is red. But, you know, they kind of look like little lightsabers because you can battle your popsicles together. It's kind of fun.
Sounds like a sticky time.
And none of these look like Jar Jar's tongue, right?
No.
Oh, gosh.
No. Oh, I remember those candies. I remember those.
Did anybody ever do those in this group? I mean, no.
No.
No,
I hope,
but
not.
I do remember them being at the store.
I've been trying to track one down that's not all eaten and disgusting on
like
eBay.
It's not used.
Yeah, they don't pop up very often.
That's it. Kind of a short episode, right? No, so
sorry.
So Bria, I'm going to let you tell everybody where they can find you online because you're like all over the place.
Oh, gosh. So mostly you can find me at Chaos Bria on Twitter. I'm also the managing editor over at Tashi Station. That's Tashi-Station.net. I run the geek fashion blog White Hot Room. And you can also... Oh, wait. I'm also co-host the Kanji Cast and the Vong Cast. And you can now find my bylines on StarWars.com occasionally.
Dang. All over the place. There you go. Well, thank you for joining us, Bria, because, you know, we've been trying for a while. You're so busy.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cancel last week.
No.
I'm so sorry.
People cancel all the time for this show, so don't worry.
I'm just glad I finally made it on. And when you're like, I bet you're busy, I said, no, I am not.
I know. I figured at one point if I said, I bet you're busy, you'd say no. And that's what happened.
Yep.
That's what happened. So, Christy, where can people find you?
Sure. So people can find me co-hosting the Galactic Fashion Podcast with my friend Teresa Delgado. And we are on Instagram at Galactic Fashion Pod and Twitter at Galactic Fashion. And then you can find me on both of those as well at Bespin Bell. And I also appear often on the 602 Club. I recently discussed The Incredibles 1 and 2 with my pal here, Matt Rushing.
Ah, the 602 Club. I've been on that show before. They don't have me on anymore. Matt, where can people find you?
That is so not true, Bruce. You're just too busy these days. But your stool is always there for you. It's got your butt print in it and only your name on it. You know, like nobody else can sit in that stool. So you can find me on Twitter, MattRushing02. I'm on Instagram under the same name. As Christy mentioned, I'm over there on Trek FM's General Geek Show, the 602 Club, where we talk about all the fandoms we love. And it's a blast. So whether it's Star Wars or, you know, something else, we talk about as many fandoms as possible. We've also got progressive negotiations that I do with John Mills, all about Star Wars. So if you just kind of like Star Wars goodness every week, that's the place to go. And then I also do Owlpost with my friend Dre Kaufman, talking through each and every chapter of Harry Potter, one chapter at a time. And I'm also on Cinema Stories with my friend Courtney, talking about films through the lens of faith. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, gosh, too many places. Bruce, where can everybody find you?
Well, you'll find me on the 602 Club in a couple of weeks.
Yes. Yes, you will.
So there's that. And you can find me on Literary Treks on Trek.fm. And you can find me on Twitter at Admiral_Rex. And you can find me in the Trek FM Facebook group called the Babel Conference. I never mentioned that on here, but I'm just throwing it out there. And where else can you find me? I guess that's kind of it. And of course, here on the show. I guess that's just about it. Really don't care where you can find Michael, I'm sure. Michael, where can people find you?
In a van down by the river.
What the?
It's an old Saturday Night Live. Okay. Just Farley. At Morris Isley on both Twitter and Instagram. And then, of course, I do the Cloud City Casino podcast, which is for this network, which is the gaming podcast.
Yeah. And, you know, you had some really interesting ideas throughout the show. You're very creative.
I'm telling you.
Let's revisit.
Rathtar Hunger Games.
Yeah, let's revisit about this whole producer
thing.
It's
going to be huge. we'll have to have a show or a show meeting after.
Because, you know, I don't know. This show needs some help. All right, so all of you are welcome to come back someday.
Except for me.
Michael, you can come back sometime. When we have a guest cancel, you can come back on.
All right, when you have no other choice.
And maybe one day Riley will come back again.
Who's Riley?
He's some guy.
I'm kidding.
He's some guy. He's some guy that's...
Oh, that Riley guy.
I can tell you what he's doing tonight, but he'd probably kill me. So I'm not going to mention it, because we're still doing the show as the music's fading us out.
Is he walking out of solo film?
No.
Is that what he's doing?
No.
That's... Not going to let it go. Not going to let it go.
Oh, no. All right. Well, thanks for everyone for listening to the Star Wars Report. Because you know what? Many Bothans died to bring you this. Yes, this podcast.
I thought we were going to try to reduce the Bothan death count. I thought that was like the one thing that you were going to attempt to do when taking the show over.
I became violent. I want to see a Bothan in a movie.